Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, here. I am joined by Melissa.
Morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're going to have some fun in this hour. We got good things coming up for you in a little bit. We're going to get into the top things we Google about the oldest, youngest, and middle child.
That's cool. Interesting.
We've also got...
Which one's the best?
When is the perfect time to take that bathroom break? That one coming up for you as well, during the Super Bowl, that is.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I was going to say, when you have to?
I could not have done that worse.
Well,
I guess we're covering a very... Wow, that's a weird topic, James. That's a weird
Somebody one. Needs to tell you when. We got to talk.
It seems like a tough one, yeah. But we kick off, of course, the 9 o'clock with some entertainment news for you. And I had to start right here, you guys. I came across this one from musicreader.com. And researchers at Spensenzi University in Rome took thousands of songs from six genres: classic, jazz, rock, pop, hip-hop, and electronic, and examined them from beginning until present day. And they did this to find out, hey, is music getting better or worse? or are we just old? What does science say to this? And what they found is that the music in all six genres has become significantly simpler over the years, even classical and jazz music.
Oh, interesting.
And it probably has a lot to do with the fact that technology has made it so much that pretty much anybody can make music.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. If you don't know how to play piano, but you have a synthesizer that can mimic the piano, mm-hmm. or you have a sound machine that can
there's apps out there that you can create your own electronic whatever pretty easily. Yeah.
If you can't sing, there are,
auto-tune.
Yes, and all that.
I just said that to get a reaction from Melissa. I just wanted to hear that.
The study says, quote,
"You're welcome."
The democratization of the composition process and the advent of new technologies and platforms have fostered the development of genres characterized by reducing complexity relative to earlier eras.
Okay.
In other words, they've simplified it.
It makes sense,
because
right?
The process has gotten simpler.
Yeah.
And while the actions have gotten simpler, the options have gotten more.
Right. So. It is very much expanded. Well, if you think about it, too, like, take a piece by, like, a symphony by Mozart, and how long a piece of music that is, and you juxtapose it with, like, a 3-minute pop song.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Just by the sheer length, it's going to be a lot more complex than just a regular old, a song that you sing on the radio.
And, like, you never know when it's ending. It sounds like it ended. It was great. And you're ready to, get up and take a bathroom break. And then it starts back up again with the second ending.
Yep.
And then a third.
Well,
and then a fourth.
So I...
You exaggerate.
I think there's one thing about this that, and I think about this too when it comes to modern day workers, blue collar, white collar, whatever you want to say, no matter what job they're doing. There's always this said from the older generations that people don't work as hard nowadays and they don't have to work as hard. And I think that is a little bit difficult to prove or to see one way or the other by numbers or not. But I do think that it is noteworthy that I don't know that people aren't working as hard. Maybe there are some things that have been simplified, but our fight or flight and our work ethic hasn't changed that much. I think people are working just as hard, just mm-hmm. differently. The where yes. they're putting that
effort.
Well,
the technology is so different. How could it not have changed?
Exactly.
If you've ever seen somebody try to put together, anything for computers, programming-wise, mm-hmm. Coders, some of those things, that's insanity. That's insane work.
Yeah.
And
so detail-oriented,
They may not be doing a blue-collar job, but their brains are working just as hard as a factory worker.
Right.
I'm not saying that they don't make them like they used to or something like that.
Right.
I don't know about that. There are certain things, sure, I'm not going to fight with you on that one, but I have a hard time believing that we aren't where we are economically without still having hard workers.
Oh, 100%.
And some of that isn't even necessarily because of our work ethic, but because we have to.
Yes.
No. Back in the 50s and 40s, you had the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and all these things that were said. And you had less.
Survive on one income.
Right?
Yeah. You can't do that anymore. You can have two people working full-time jobs, and you're still struggling to make ends meet.
You're still living in the poverty level.
You don't believe me? Look at the Alice report. Look at your neighbors. Look to your left, and then look to your right, and you're going to see somebody in that situation.
And that's like hyper-local. The Alice report is just here. And let's think about the whole the world. I mean, yikes.
We had our ag agent, Matt Lippert, in yesterday, and we were talking about this when we're talking about illegal immigrants. And okay, you want to do that. You want to get rid of them. Who's going to take over that workforce?
Yeah. Great question.
And as a side note, as much as you're focused on getting rid of illegal immigrants, okay, you're going to do that, and you're expecting Americans to take those jobs. So I imagine that you're also looking at minimum wage, right? Like, you're going to pay people more, right? Because you want people to do those jobs, don't you?
Right.
You don't want anybody to take an American job. Okay, well, then you're going to have to pay Americans more. Otherwise, Americans have proven they ain't doing that job.
Right.
That's how we got here.
Exactly.
This isn't rocket science.
No. Nope.
And I would think, a lot of these people making these decisions are, quote, business people. Well, how do they know this? And how do they not know this? How are they not good at this? It doesn't make any sense to me. So when it comes to music or work or any of these things, the energy putting into it or hard work putting into it or the simplification of it, I think that's pretty darn easy to say. Mm-hmm. It's a lot harder to prove.
Right.
I don't know about that. I don't know if music's gotten simpler or anything like that. I can listen to a song from Mozart and be blown away by the layers of it, just like pulling up a Radiohead song and hearing the amount of layers in that song, or even Pink Floyd or something like that.
Yeah.
The technology has made it maybe simpler, but that's only pushed the creative process.
Right, and I think we don't necessarily have to say simpler means worse. I mean, that's the other thing, too. It could be just as good, just in a simpler way. And in some ways, maybe it's more accessible to more people if it's simpler.
Yeah,
there's a reason why rock and roll became popular. It had a simple beat that people could dance to, and a couple of chords, and it was fun. That's why people enjoyed it. That's why people wanted to do it. So, you know.
And I would also say that, you know, the creative part of music, we have kind of eras that we go through, you know, with different things, and all of the different genres too. They
absolutely
all have like certain things that they try out within that genre, and it's that way for a while, and then it changes. We may be in the midst of that as well, where we're like, we're going to embrace this, you know, all these different technologies, auto-tuning, AI being able to generate a melody for us. We may do that for a little while, but then we're going to move on to the next thing.
Yep.
Music is ever evolving.
It is.
Ever changing, and that's the beauty of it.
Mm-hmm. That's very well said. Mm-hmm. Very well said.
Mm-hmm. Looking at what's new on your small screen this weekend, you got the 2025 Critics Choice Awards hosted by Chelsea Handler. That is streaming on Peacock tonight at 7. Real Time with Bill Maher is back. You've also got We Live in Time, a movie on Friday on Max. Andrew Garfield, Florence Pugh, both really strong performances in that one. Both really good actors.
Good,
they got to get a chance in that movie to really show you what they can do as actors.
I was going to say young actors, but actually I don't know.
Yeah,
they might be a little older.
Lion King at the Hollywood Bowl. It's the 30th anniversary celebration of the Lion King that is streaming on Disney Plus tonight.
Oh, wow.
You've got some big names a part of that one, too, with performances from some of the voice cast and Broadway cast.
Oh, cool.
That's cool.
Robin Roberts presents I Will Survive, the Gloria Gaynor story. That is going to be on Saturday night at 7 on Lifetime. That could be really good.
That could be interesting. Yeah.
Also on Saturday on Fox, the 26th annual Super Bowl Soulful Celebration. I have no idea what that is, but it is hosted by Master P and the Isley Brothers. Wow.
There's still some Isley Brothers left?
I guess.
Wow. Yeah. They've been going strong for a long time.
And let's see here. You've also on Sunday got the Puppy Bowl going on. Puppy Bowl 21. The three-hour special stars 142 rescue pups. And hopefully every one of them get adopted.
There you go, Melissa. There's your counter. There, lots of puppies.
I love the Puppy Bowl. I love it. I don't have cable anymore, though, so I can't watch any of it.
Bummer.
Fox will have the Super Bowl 59, Philadelphia Eagles versus Kansas City Chiefs.
Licks. Super Bowl licks.
Super Bowl licks. John.
Come on. That's the only thing that's helping keep Roman numerals around, Seth.
Nope. Licks.
It It is taking place in NOLA. John Batiste will be singing the national anthem, and the great Kendrick Lamar will have the halftime show.
There you go.
And after that, you've got the Rob Lowe's The Floor. It's a game show, I guess. Wow. You know, that is one of the more coveted spots in all of TV.
Right after the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah. And that's what they're going to do. Oh, wow, that's okay. Interesting to me. Okay, Fox. All right.
Yeah,
that's a choice.
Yep.
It's Fox programming. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And not a lot new being released in the movie theaters this weekend. Becoming Led Zeppelin, it's the first ever authorized documentary about the band. It's in limited release, but it is being played in IMAXs.
That would be interesting.
Oh, I got to see that.
That one sounds a good one, yep.
Hard Eyes, it's a horror movie about a hoarder character with hard eyes. I don't know.
Boy, it's great.
I mean, they got nothing. Man, the horror genre, like, to everybody working in the horror industry, try harder. Like, just try harder. What happened to actually having plots and concepts and actually, like, built out characters?
It's all gimmicks now. It's all just gimmicks.
If it isn't that, it's taking, like, a beloved character and making them dark. Ooh. Or Arbor Day and making it, like, a horror. Like, come on.
I'm sorry. My hard eyes are all cartoon characters.
Yes. Yes.
The old Chuck Jones, auga.
Nice.
Kind of,
nice.
You know, the eyes popping out.
And I will admit.
Five Nights at Freddy's.
I will admit, I kind of want to see this one. Love Hurts. It's an action movie, a romantic action movie starring Ki-Hoo Kwan. Who has come back into the kind of public known and everything from his days back from Goonies and all and Indiana Jones.
Had one heck of a renaissance, and he is so much fun. He's so much fun.
Won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor for Everything Everywhere All at Once last couple of years, and now he is back, and he is a former hitman who is trying to, you know, come out of be a good guy now and everything. He does all of his these action moves, and like right afterwards is apologizing afterwards. Marshawn Lynch is in this, and he does a really good job.
Really?
Marshawn Lynch is actually he's a solid actor.
I love it. Seymour Marshawn Lynch.
I'm not saying he's going to win an Academy Award, but he does a great job. He's good. And Sean Astin is in it as well, which is really cool because you get kind of a Goonies reunion in it.
You know what? Now that I've heard all this, I do want to see this movie now. It sounds like fun. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's just a nice fun movie.
Nice fun movie.
Just, you know, good action movie. I'm a sucker for that stuff. I just tune out. But you could tune in to Clue. They are back, and they've only got two more performances. Our great friends at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, CWAC, have Clue. Two more shows tonight and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Century Theater, 1800 North Point Drive in beautiful Stevens Point.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and check that out. Buy local, support local. That includes the arts, everybody.
Yes.
I can't recommend it highly enough. I got to see it last weekend. It was fantastic.
Excellent.
Will love it. The stage itself is just, it'll blow you away.
Cool.
And then there's the whole acting part, you know, like beyond that. Beyond
the whole acting part.
I think some
of... the acting, you know.
The show is so much fun.
Some of Central Wisconsin's best actors are on that stage. Go ahead and check it out, everybody. A shout out to everybody a part of that one. It's one of my favorite plays. Go check that out. Clue, tonight and tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Century Theater at 1800 North Point Drive in beautiful Stevens Point. Get your tickets at CWAC.org. And while you're at it and supporting local theater, we've got some other great local theater coming up for you, everybody. Arsenic and Old Lace is going to be right around the corner, February 27th. Encourage you to get your tickets for that, because all the other best actors in Central Wisconsin that aren't on the stage for CWAC, most of them are going to be on the stage for Arsenic and Old Lace. A perfect cast, wonderful work.
Good stuff.
Got great everybody involved in this one. You want to check that one out, get your tickets for that at wrctheater.org. And be on the lookout for Silver Fox's Situation Comedy, a radio show.
Nice.
That one's coming up. And as long as you are at wrctheater.org, go ahead and fill out your audition form for Noises Off.
Yes. Melissa, do you know anything about the show? Anything at all?
A little bit.
Okay.
I just got some of the stage drawings for the set from my set designer and builder, so I'm really excited about this.
That's
gonna
be fun.
For those of you who don't know, I'm directing Noises Off, and you should go and fill out an audition form.
Yeah, that's right. Do it now.
There are a lot of great roles in this one, both big and small. There are plenty of work behind the scenes if you'd rather be doing that.
Oh my God, there's going to be so much work behind the scenes in this one.
Yeah, we're going to need a big crew.
Yes.
And maybe it hasn't been on stage, but Melissa has directed both Seth and I in our radio programs and some of those things.
Yep.
And she is one of the most fun people to work with. You are going to have a good time. You're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to grow and have a good time and have fun and everything.
Yep.
Encourage
what are you talking about? I am a taskmaster. I'm going to put people to work really hard. Actually, you're going to have to for this show. just fair warning. This
fair warning, everybody.
I'm just reading the script you wrote me, Melissa. Did I do it wrong? I'm
so sometimes sorry. You do that, James, and other times you choose not to.
Did I do it wrong? I did it wrong. I'm so sorry.
Please do come audition or volunteer to help backstage. We are going to have so much fun.
Yep.
Yeah, and as long as we are pumping her up a little bit here, I do want to mention our newsletter as well. We had our newest edition premiere yesterday at noon. I love it. I checked it out, and I read it every Thursday. I enjoy it, and I know that so much of our audience does, too. If you have not already done so, go to WFHR.com. Take a couple seconds. Sign up for the newsletter. It is your one-stop shop of Central Wisconsin news.
Mm-hmm. It's free.
Completely free and just waiting for you. So again, go to WFHR.com and sign up for that newsletter, everybody.
Yes.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back and we're going to talk about the best time to go to the bathroom. During the Super Bowl. Sorry. Forgot the last part. Got to get that in there. Dang it. We'll be back more show. I got to work on this. Best time during the... Okay. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope y'all are having a great start to your Friday out there. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Seth, Melissa, James here with you. And we're talking bathroom breaks. We're talking bathroom breaks. But we'll keep this long.
We're not supposed to talk about that, James.
Right.
Your toilet humor.
Boy, I almost kind of miss the days when there were topics we didn't talk about.
Exactly, yes.
You don't talk about that on the air.
Yeah, boy, I didn't think that would happen. So, of course, the Super Bowl right around the corner, and whether it's the Super Bowl or a TV show you like or a made-for-TV movie you're watching, it does still exist, the idea of how do I time out my bathroom break? I don't know how long this is still going to be a thing, but it's still a thing for now.
Okay.
And if you're trying to figure out when the best time to do that is, we got you covered.
All right.
To help you out.
Nice.
A new survey asked people for the best and worst times to leave the room. And the top answer was right before halftime. 27% said that that's the best time to go to the bathroom. Another 27 said that you should go during the halftime show, and 25% said that that's one of the worst times to go.
Oh, wow.
That's kind of funny. Now,
interesting.
There's a lot of conversation that this and this happens every once in a while. It seems like every other year that we remind people that for decades, the Super Bowl halftime show was the perfect time to take the bathroom break because the NFL just phoned it in. One of the funniest things to do is to go back and look at the Super Bowl halftime shows right up to Michael, like right up until then.
Yeah.
Because as we've talked about, and many of you have heard out there, for years, they didn't do anything. And then MTV had the idea, or In Living Color, and Damon Wayans and Keenan Ivory Wayans and all them had the idea, let's go ahead and have something counter-programming.
Yep.
Hey, during the halftime, you know, we know you're not going to watch it because this Fox couldn't get the Super Bowl rights. So they smartly figured out a way around this and like, hey, during the halftime show, we know you're going to go to the bathroom. Why not come over to Fox and watch an In Living Color special? And then
makes sense.
MTV had the idea, well, hey, come over here and watch Celebrity Deathmatch, you know, and that kind of thing. And the NFL saw this as like, oh, no, we're not losing one viewer. We're going to go ahead and
valuable commercial time.
And to their credit, they didn't just come back with music. They came back with the King of Pop. Like, right. I mean, just to show you how seriously they took this and everything. And then since going forward, it's been nothing but big musical acts. And whether you like them or not, they put a lot of money and time
they
into this.
They do, really a lot. Yeah.
To the point where they hired Jay-Z to run that Super Bowl halftime. That's been Jay-Z's job the last like 10 years.
That's all he does.
Running the Super Bowl halftime show. It's all he does anymore.
Because he got a plan. I mean, it's huge. Yeah.
It's that and have coffee with Beyonce. Like, that's Jay-Z's life right now. And to another point, this is his last year doing it, by the way. Mm. This is, I believe that they are, I don't know who they're going to have next, but they are looking, they are taking interviews right now for somebody to take over that job next year. So I think that that's interesting, for one. And I think why most people used to think that. But now, like this particular year, I'm going right before. I need to catch this halftime show. I don't know since Prince I've been more excited about a halftime show.
This is interesting. I don't know if it was a coincidence or not that they decided to have Kendrick Lamar in here. Maybe, I don't know, before the whole thing. I don't remember if he'd already been announced before the whole thing happened with Drake
yeah,
or not.
Yeah,
either that, it's very serendipitous.
It
okay.
No, it was announced beforehand, and then he dropped all
now
this
stuff. Now I think we're going to be, I think Ooh. More people will be paying attention to this Ooh. One than in a long time.
So here is the rest of the rankings of the perfect time to take that bathroom break. Why don't we call it a timeout? Why don't we call it? I got to take a time out. Why don't we just call it that?
During kick, powder my nose.
There you go.
Yeah. During kickoff, 19% say it's a good time to do it then. 25% say it's a bad time. During the first quarter commercial break, 19% think that's a good time. 6% say it's bad. During the second quarter commercial break, 15% think that's a good time. 5% think it's bad.
Oh, my gosh.
After the broadcast has ended, 13% think hold that's it. A good time. 3% say it's a bad
hours.
Time.
Hold it. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. Who
don't
wants
drink anything,
it more?
Though, during the entire game.
Oh. Right after the halftime show, 12% think that's the right time. 4% say that's the bad time. To me, I think if I can last that long, that's what I'm doing. Yeah, right. I'm just being honest. I'm 47. During the third quarter commercial breaks, 9% think that's a good time. 3% say that's a bad time. Then 4 to 7% of people think it's okay to miss a few plays in the first and second quarters if needed, or like coming out of the halftime into the third quarter. And about the same percentage of people think it's cool to skip skip out on the post game celebrations and interviews. And
the game's over then.
Yeah, right.
And the time,
that's the boringest part, man.
The times when very few people are willing to step away are during the third and fourth quarters, especially in the final 2 minutes of the game, as well as overtime if there is one.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Even for a non-sports person.
Right. Right on, Melissa. Yeah.
My other question, though, is how long does it take you to go to the bathroom?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Seriously, people, eat more fiber.
As this conversation completely derails.
Yes.
You're welcome.
I did have one other thing I wanted to bring up with the Super Bowl, unless you guys got anything else on that.
Oh, the only thing is the only reason that I would watch the post game interviews is if the Chiefs win, and they probably are, when Patrick Mahomes gets his moments, they're like, well, you know, no one believed us through the season, and we showed them we could do this, and you know, it's history is all great and good and all that stuff, but even if he went 3 in a row, it's going to be like, yeah, it's really cool that
very
we won
standard,
3 in a row. Yeah.
Very standard, very pre-scripted.
No excitement or anything. He's just going to, yeah.
I am all here for your limited Patrick Mahomes impression. I want more and more of it. I want to write sketches just for you to do this. I love it. In a new poll, 30% of people said that their favorite part, what they are listening for during the game. So I think this is another interesting part of this. Why do you watch the Super Bowl? There are so many percentages and different factors here for people that are watching the game for anything but the game, anything but the score of the game. The Super Bowl is always the most watched telecast of the year by far. If you don't believe me, go back, and not just this year, but go back every year for the last 20 years.
20, 25, 30, who knows?
At the top 10 best rated programs of that year. And the Super Bowl has about 6 or 7, if not 8, of those slots.
Yep.
It's insane what it does, the numbers it pulls in.
Yep.
And every year, by the way, not every year is as bad as this one, maybe, but every year I hear from people, oh, I ain't watching the Rams and the Patriots. Oh, I'm not watching the Falcons and the Patriots. I'm like, you know, get out of here. Like, every year the numbers speak differently.
It's true.
In a new poll, 30% of people said that their favorite part is, well, the game. Then 17% tune in mostly for the commercials, which is in recent years has been compared to 20%. So that has gone down a little bit.
Okay, interesting.
I wonder if advertisers are realizing that.
Hey, take note. Take note.
16% are mostly excited about the Super Bowl halftime show. So this 17% for commercials, 16% for the halftime show. That used to be never even close.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me, too. Mm-hmm. And 2% claim that their favorite part is the announcers. Well, good luck with that this year. I think Kevin Burkhardt is a very good announcer.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Burkhardt is a solid, strong announcer. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady is horrible at this. And I'm not even picking on the guy. I wholeheartedly admit I have a very high bar for announcers. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just do, and I admit that. But I don't think you have to have that high of a bar to just get better at the job as you're going along. Somehow he's gotten worse at it. and I... I think it's noteworthy because I think it's very little and very seldom do we have this in life where we see somebody who is arguably the greatest at the job he's ever done. Mm-hmm. It's you know, if somebody wants to say Tom Brady's the best quarterback they've ever seen, I'm not going to fight him on it. I will nitpick at it a little bit. Maybe he's the greatest winner you've ever saw. I don't know. Joe Montana, to me, is still the man with ice water in his veins. But be it as it may, I don't know how you can convince yourself that Tom Brady is a good announcer. Like, where is your bar for this? Mm-hmm. The man is just, he's talking over Kevin Burkhardt half the time. He's rambling too long while a play is going on. Like, he doesn't, like, this guy was a master at learning from the last play and not doing that same mistake again. Like, he was so good at it. I don't know how he hasn't done it with announcing. It's really weird to me.
He just may not be able to do it. Now,
I'm not so much nitpicking as it is. I am just, like, being kind of, like, asking the question, like, just, like, wow, why? How is this happening? Aaron Andrews and Tom Rinaldi will be on the sidelines. Both of them are top-notch at that job.
Best. Aaron is so good. She's masterful at that job.
Yeah. So you got some really good announcers, some really good people covering the game. 9% of people are not sure what their favorite part is.
They like it all, or they hate it all, I guess. Could be either. Yeah.
Or they don't care.
How many people don't care? That's what I want to know. I want to know the numbers.
And 26% say that they really love, and they don't really love any of it. So maybe there's your answer. Maybe there's part of your answer.
26%?
26%.
So they just watch it because why? If they don't like it. That's weird. Okay. Yeah,
somebody in their house has an on.
That's probably true. Yeah.
I had an ex that wanted to watch it just because she knew I was. And
be part of it.
I watched a couple of shows of hers that I didn't really get into, and she thought it was the same thing. Like, for her, we were only together 2 years, but but every year for each year, it was kind of like, well, I'm watching all these shows with her all year, and then she watches the Super Bowl with me.
I think that's a fair trade.
I was going to say, what's the calculus on that?
I was okay with it. I was cool with it because she genuinely got into the game. She genuinely tried. Like, she asked a lot of questions and everything, but she was trying. I thought that was cool. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool of her. I think that you got to go into it with that too. Like, how seriously are you taking the game? Oh, I got a lot. Everybody be quiet. I got to focus. Like, that ain't what the Super Bowl is. The Super Bowl is a party. If you just want to watch the game, sure, more power to you, but do it alone. I don't know.
We need to have Melissa sit down and watch the Super Bowl. And record all of her comments while the game is going on. I think that would be gold. So, I think that would be wonderful.
That sounds like work. Are you going to pay me for this?
Yeah. We'd do it for the station. Melissa's take on the Super Bowl.
When they're asking you where these hours came from on a Sunday night, you're like, hey, yeah, I put in hours.
Hours.
I will say.
What time is the game even? I don't even know.
So they're.
I don't know.
7 o'clock, I think.
5, 7, 6.
Or yeah, it's late.
7 o'clock.
It's late.
It starts too late.
People want to take off on Monday.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I will say that.
That's my bedtime.
ESPN does something here, and they're losing a lot of ratings in it, so I don't know how long it's going to continue, but they have kind of like, for Monday Night Football, they have the Spanish broadcast, and they also have the Manning broadcast, where you can watch the actual game, but it's just commentated differently.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the Super Bowl, but commentated by Melissa. But it's the regular game, but it's just Mel sitting back and just kind of every once in a while jumping in. What?
Melissa? Melissa doing the color commentary and someone from England doing the play-by-play who has no idea what's going on.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
But see, you guys, as much as I say that I don't like sports and I don't watch them, you neglect to remember that for the first entire, like, half of my life, I watched every single Packer game there was. I probably could give you the play-by-play fine.
That's probably true. Well, I don't want you to do the play-by-play, just the color. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
You comment on what's happening on the game, and you can. I would just love to hear you say that. What's going down?
I'd love to
hear. Well, he slipped and fell. What a klutz, you know?
We will get to our news break, our sports, and our partner break. We'll come back, and we're talking the top things we Google about the oldest, youngest, and middle child. All coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you, getting played in by some Nirvana.
Nice.
Like that. Mm-hmm. We got a good one here for you. We're not saying that you do maybe Google this, because I can't imagine ever Googling anything like this. But those that are going to be interested in this one. And Google looked at the top questions people ask about birth order. So the oldest, youngest, and middle child, and here are the top three of each.
Okay.
What is for? We'll start with the oldest first.
Okay.
I
wonder why James would say such a thing. Why yeah, the oldest yeah, James?
Yeah, yeah. Why do they always get to be first?
Yeah. This
is the best of everything.
I don't know.
So bitter.
I don't know if there is if middle children or younger children do this, but I do know as the oldest that we do bring this up whenever we have an opportunity,
as yeah. much as you can.
In part because it's all we have. It's one of the only things we have. It's it. So what are we Googling about? Well, with the oldest, why is the oldest child the shortest?
Huh?
It might be true for some reason, but it's not clear if it really is. Several studies have conflicting results.
Yeah, not true in my family.
No. I think that's ridiculous. Get out of here with that.
I've never heard of that before.
No, wow, I haven't either.
Why does the oldest child get blamed for everything?
Because they're the tallest.
Nice.
I can see him first. Yeah, it's like, that was you, but I didn't know.
It's easier.
The instigator.
Exactly.
That too. Little column A on that one.
Wow, I'm fine. There's some real pushback going on here. I could tell which one was not a first child in this conversation.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Why is being the oldest so hard? Well, in part, what we just talked about.
Wow, I feel so sorry for you.
Wow, you got first time parents trying to figure this whole thing out.
Yeah,
you know that.
That's true.
You train, you prep, maybe you took classes, maybe you read books, and then real life happens,
and all goes out the window.
It's all out the window. Yeah. It's understandable, and I think it makes sense for a lot of it. Now, what about the middle child? The first question that we are Googling about middle children: why is the middle child always hated?
Wow.
That's okay.
I don't know if I was hated. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. I will say that.
I get blamed for a lot of stuff, but.
I will say that in our family, my sister is the middle child, and there is not a more loved or adored person in our family than
there
my
you go.
Sister.
No hatred there.
We are usually the outlier with most things, so it's not, that's not going to stand out to anybody. Why is the middle child always forgotten?
Okay, is that true, Melissa? Are you forgotten?
Well, I was the only girl also, so I think that kind of skews
qualifiers
a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Same with our family.
To be. It's not, and I wasn't the only middle child. There were three of us.
So yeah, there you go. The dynamic changes. Yeah, that
throws it in there too.
Yeah.
Why is the middle child always left out? That is another one. Okay. Again, I think you could see the other questions there. That one.
That would make it. Yeah.
Now for the youngest. Why is the youngest child the favorite?
The baby of the family.
I don't think that any parent could really put it into words, and certainly no parent is going to tell you who their favorite is, except my dad. My dad, you
very
can ask
honest.
Him that, would not blink an eye, Jill. Without a blink of an eye, without even he's the only parent I've ever known to be like this. But I love him for it. I love him for it. I don't know. I think that there's also obviously some human nature involved in that. And if you're a parent and you have
you've survived to have at least two or three or maybe more children, you're going to treat that one like it's gold.
Well, and you know it's your last. If you know it's your last child,
of course you don't know it until. You know it, yeah, right? Yeah. So that's the thing, but yeah.
What? Or if that's your plan. I mean,
Yeah. Why is the youngest child always spoiled? Again, I think we kind of answered some of this.
I think it has something to do with, and I think it may happen that way. I think it has something to do with the age of the parents. As they get older and certain things, you know, you get more tired. I don't know, whatever it is.
Or
but
you
I think,
start to relax into life a little bit.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that has something to do with it, too. Or maybe when you have, you know, your first child, you're not as financially stable, you know, and then maybe later on you have more money and that kind of thing. Who knows, you know?
Or you've made all the mistakes with the first kid. you've done a little better with the next few.
The last
and
one
by,
is
the, by the last one, you've got everything figured out. It's fine.
With your first child, their first you know, toenail is the greatest thing in the world, and you've never seen anything like it, and it makes you cry, and you're saving clippings of it and everything. Huh? And by that third child, you realize that this, you know, maybe not everything is the, you know, the biggest thing in the world.
Yes.
And I think you all of what you guys are saying adds to that. Mm-hmm. I think that's all, it's all like comes together. Why does the youngest child get away with everything? We've worn our parents. As the oldest child, we wear down our parents so that by the time the youngest one comes around, you guys have it a little bit smoother.
To consider, the younger children, and this is after the first one, they learn from the oldest.
Right.
They learn all of the tricks and the tray, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a playbook. The oldest child doesn't.
No,
they're doing it all on their own. Out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the house is really busy by the time you got that many kids around.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good point.
The more
so
kids,
more
the more
you can get away with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chaos. Come on.
Man, my little brother is looked at as the golden child in our family, and he I can make an argument. He was just as much knucklehead as I was. He was just smarter. He was much smarter.
He learned from his brother.
Yeah. 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 They also looked at the top questions people ask about only children. Why are only children weird? That's not fair. That's not fair.
No, they're weird.
I've known a lot.
Only children are weird.
I've known a lot of only children.
Skewed view of life. That's all I'm saying.
There's a little bit of like, a little bit of both. Why are our only children so sensitive? That's an interesting one. I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's a case by case basis on that
it
one.
It is. I
don't know.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Case by case.
Oh, you know, all of this is a case
basically,
by case.
Basically,
all of this is a case by case.
Of course.
But I do think that that's not only I think it's an interesting question to be proposed or to hear and everything just mm-hmm. as we talk about mental health and anything that has to do under that umbrella.
Right.
And why are only children spoiled? I feel like this one is a little more self-explanatory.
Because all the attention
they
is focused
have
on
to share.
Exactly.
With another kid in the house.
And you're not going to learn. I mean, you'll learn sharing elsewhere, school, and all these other places.
Socialization with
exactly,
other kids
yeah.
and stuff. It's not the same as having another kid in your house.
No, it is not.
I know that it is a struggle, though, for parents. Most parents, you very seldom do you hear a parent say, I want my child to grow up spoiled.
You know, right, exactly.
You're not
yeah.
trying to
exactly,
do that.
Yeah.
You're not wanting to do that. Yeah. And I think with all of these, whether we're talking about your siblings or you're talking about parents or whether you're parents or you are a parent, one of the biggest overall things we can do here is give each other some grace.
That's why the perfect number of children is two. And I'm not just saying that because I came from a family of two and I only have two children.
it's actually 2.5.
Cut my child in half. What are you doing?
Hey, figure it out. Figure it out, everybody. I'm just giving you the numbers.
It's all about the numbers, right? It's all right there.
I just want a white picket fence, guys. Come on.
Oh, that would. Just because what that means that you have property, like just that alone made me smile. Like I didn't even know what my house would look like, but the idea that I would have a fence, like it's a good start.
For some reason, I suddenly thought of Tom Skerritt.
Interesting. Oh, yes, picket fences.
I was going to see if you got that one.
It took me a second. We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the morning show for the week here, coming up on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us all week long. Shout out to the best listeners in radio, those that called in, those that played along, those that just listened. We appreciate you, everybody.
We do.
And everybody that texted.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that.
I want to get into our schedule and some good stories of the day, make plenty of room for it, so let's go ahead and dive right in. We got a great one lined up for you today. Of course, stick around for Matt and Air on Air. Jane and Greg coming up with you. I believe they're back together.
I believe they're all back.
They are going to be having not only a great show for you, get you ready for the noon hour, but they got that Love on the Air text to win contest word coming up for
It'll
you.
It'll be coming up. The next one is on the way.
Yes, be listening for that at the top of the 8 a.m., 10 a.m., noon, and 2 o'clock hours. We're going to give you a keyword to text to us with Love on the Air contest. We're going to wrap this up today, and then we'll be back next week doing it all over again.
That's right.
That package is fantastic.
Yes.
Big thank you to everybody who has been playing along. Just need the Civic Media app.
Yep, that's all you need.
Tonight, got a good lineup for you. From 4 to 5, join us for one more Midday Magazine of the Week, and it's a good one. In part one, we're going to sit back and talk with Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. We got plenty to talk about with elections, immigration, and all that we are going to be discussing today, and we'll do it as adults. We do this really weird thing, Scott and I, where even when we don't see eye to eye, we still treat each other with respect.
Nice. That's remarkable.
And,
wow.
And we'll probably wrap up talking about brewers.
Hey, not a bad thing. Season is almost here.
It's the rule that Scott and I have. We do our job, we play good, and then we get to talk sports.
Have some fun.
We will do that a little bit later today at 4 o'clock. And then at 4:30, Darla Allen's joining us from the Charles and Joanne Lester Library. Really excited about this interview. Mm-hmm.
Yep, mm-hmm. It'll be great.
Our libraries are fantastic.
We love all of our libraries.
I was just going to say, a shout out to the Nakusa Library. Love that library. Mm-hmm. It's a great place. Also, some great sports on your radio dial this weekend. Of course, we'll have Playmakers tonight from 5 to 6, brought to you not only by Quality Plus Printing, but Family Natural Foods.
Yeah.
Sponsors. We love it. We'll be Seth and I will be hanging out tonight talking, of course, the Super Bowl. We have also got some
Whatever. Super Bowl. Baseball.
We'll be talking baseball. Also, tonight at 6:30, Wisconsin men's hockey hosting Penn State. We'll have game two of that on Saturday at 5:30 for you. Also, Saturday at 11 a.m., Wisconsin men's basketball at Iowa. All good stuff. Taking a look at our weekend lineup. Really good things lined up for you every weekend. Saturday at 7, you got the Sunshine Polka Show with Tim Hubbell.
Mm-hmm. Best polka show around.
Yes. Not only the greatest polka show you will ever hear, maybe the greatest radio show you will ever hear. Be sure to check it out. Tim scours the universe looking for great polka. Be sure to join him every week for that.
That's the universal language. Polka.
That is.
We figured it out. Yeah.
We appreciate Tim and all the work he puts into that show. Afterwards, our great friends and Family Natural Foods bring us Terry Talks Nutrition, one of the godfathers of supplements and game changers in that industry. Terry Lemron joins us for that.
Wealth of knowledge.
Yep.
And at 11 a.m., you got the best of the morning show.
Except with the Badgers game this week.
So. Yes.
Normally, you would hear the best of the normal
show. Yes. But do have the Badgers this weekend.
Yep.
On Sunday, our Sunday night lineup is getting more and more popular. Thank you, everybody, who is spreading the word about it. We've got a great one lined up for you this week. At from 5 to 6, our Director's Playhouse, brand new episode, Seth and I, welcome into the studio, Pam Hilke.
Yes, indeed.
Nice. Oh, that's
great to hear from Pam. Yep.
We continue our civic series, having Pam on the air with us, and we will be having more and more of our studio here and all of our friends at Civic Media. We, let you guys look behind the curtain a little bit. Pete Schwab are going to be joining us at some point.
Yeah.
And we're also going to be doing a very similar thing with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Yeah.
Nice.
We'll be having an interview with a really, really big name from over there coming up, too. We're looking forward to that.
Yes.
From 6 to 8, join us every Sunday for Seth Faces the Music.
Yes. Counter Programming City this week. Songs about doctors.
Oh, nice. Whoa.
Doctor songs. I think all the injuries that are going to happen at the Super Bowl. No, I didn't do that for that reason. But.
That's perfect.
Are there that many songs about doctors?
You'd be surprised.
I guess so.
Yeah, there is. Actually, there's enough. So it's going
to
be fun.
It's one of the most original shows you'll hear. Be sure to check out Seth Faces the Music from 6 to 8 every Sunday. And then 8 to 9, got a new Unlabeled for you, everybody.
Yeah.
It is your 90s mixtape nostalgia right in your ears. It is fantastic. We got a great one lined up
this
for
is
you
gonna
this
is
going
to be week. My favorite one. James is focusing on the ladies this week.
Ooh.
And oh my gosh, so many great songs. Oh, love them all.
The 90s just had such an influx of great female singers, songwriters, and
just
I didn't
talented
even,
period, yeah.
I, being honest, I wasn't intending to do that. I was putting together the episode, and I just like to put together songs that sound good together or artists that sound good together, and as I was doing it, I'm like, oh, I got like 7 songs here with all female artists. Mm-hmm. I'm just
going
to stick with
Keep
that.
Keep going.
Yeah.
One of my all-time favorite Luscious Jackson songs you picked, man.
Yeah.
Love
it's
that song.
It's a good song. Join us 8 to 9 every Sunday for Unlabeled. And of course, wanted to make sure to mention next week we got some great programming for you. We'll kick off the morning show next week with this team right here. We'll be getting into keeping the Love in the Air contest going, but we got the percentage of Americans that can fall asleep in under a minute. We'll be talking about that.
Hate you.
We've got getting ready for Valentine's Day. We got to talk about that and
about
stuff.
That, yep.
So we got plenty of great things going on next week that we're looking forward to. Wrapping up with some of the local good stories. Seth, want to remind everybody about the Winter Farmer Market.
This is actually a little bit in flux right now. I just heard
recently.
Because of the storm that's supposed to be hitting us tomorrow. So at this point, watch Facebook to see if that is canceled or not. I can tell you there will be no Winter Market on the 15th because there's a church function that's going on. So they will not be able to open it on the 15th.
Well, there's so many things happening on the 15th. A lack of things to do.
Right, exactly. So to keep on their Facebook page, the Winter Market, and they'll have all the information there about closings and that sort of thing. So keep that bookmarked, everybody, so you know what's going on. So.
A couple of good stories real quick for you here, everybody. A school district in Southern Oregon has been dealing with budget issues and staffing shortages, but things are looking up with an anonymous donor pitching in over $890,000.
Whoa.
What?
Even though they don't know who the person is, hundreds of students wrote thank you cards. The superintendent called it incredibly heartwarming. He said kids were amazing and how by generous. Nobody told them to do this, by the way. They just wrote these cards on their own.
Very cool.
That is just a fantastic one. And two kids aged 6 and 12 fell through the ice pond in Virginia last month and couldn't get out. But luckily, the 12-year-old already had an iPhone and it was in his pocket and got wet but still worked. It let him call 911, even through cell service. Firefighters showed up 10 minutes later and pulled him out.
Nice.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
What a story that is.
Shout out to those firefighters and to our workers out there. Absolutely. Last week's medical jet crash in Philadelphia killed one person on the ground and injured more than two dozen. And one of those injured people was a heroic 12-year-old boy named Trey Howard. He was in his dad's car when a piece of metal flew and like a bullet got him. It only hit him because he was shielding his little sister to protect her.
Oh. There you go.
It was touch and go in the hospital, and he needed brain surgery, but he survived. After he woke up, he told his dad, "I'm a celebrity." But his dad told him, "No, you're a superhero."
Yeah, aww. That's right. That's an amazing story right there.
Amazing week. Thank you so much to all you listeners out there, all of our sponsors, and all you great people that help us put this show on. Thank you to everybody out there. And great work, you two, this week.
Yeah, you too, man.
Nice job. Be good to each other out there, everybody. We will talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.